for Inclusive Childcare welcomes you to Inclusion Matters. We share resources and information to support quality childcare for all children. By partnering with early childhood professionals, parents, grandparents, and other caregivers, we work together to help every young child thrive. Welcome to Inclusion Matters, a podcast from the Center for Inclusive Childcare. I'm Priscilla Weigel, the Executive Director, and I'm honored today to be joined by Jamesetta Diggs, who is the Executive Director of Beyond Early Initiatives. And she has written a wonderful self-study for us that is on our website and available. And it's focusing on supporting immigrant families in early childhood settings. And the name of the self-study is Building Strong Partnerships, a Culturally Responsive Approach to Engaging Immigrant Children and Families. Welcome, Jamesetta. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you, Priscilla. I'm glad to be here.
So I wonder if, and I'm kind of springing this on you, but do you want to tell our audience a little bit about how we ended up asking you to write this? Because I think your background is super interesting. And so can you just take a little moment and share with our listeners a little bit more about you?
Yeah, sure. So I am also an immigrant parent. My family and I immigrated to the United States about 11 years ago, and my son was little at the time, and my daughter was born here. Okay. So I have had that opportunity of having a child in an interdependent culture, and at the same time, having another child in an independent culture. So raising these two children has been one of the passion that brought me to this phase of how do I support families and children. But a lot of my experiences growing up has been in Liberia, West Africa, where I was born, and where I have my childhood, experienced a lot of different communities across West Africa as well.
And you come to us from Liberia with a lot of early childhood knowledge and background as well from your time working there before you immigrated here.
I do. So in Liberia, before we had our civil crisis that started in 1989, everyone who worked in preschool, what we known as preschool, had a degree or a certificate in primary education. So there was nothing like early childhood education until after the 14-year civil crisis, where we had partners from the United States come to rebuild our early, or come to build our early childhood structure from the start. And so I was opportune to be with the first team that started the workforce development and setting up the training system in Liberia for the early childhood programming. And today we have graduate programs, we have college degrees and certificate programs for early childhood programs. We have a policy now for early childhood in Liberia. So that has come a long way. And I was so grateful to be a part of that process.
Oh, congratulations for that success and to be part of it early on. So we know that there's your influence in there as well in what's going on in Liberia. And we're grateful that you're here in the United States to help us with really educating early childhood folks. And that can be anyone who works with young children in a structured setting. Some key information about partnering with families who have come from afar and they're dealing with a lot that's going on in their personal lives that sometimes as we go through our work and our day-to-day care of young children, we're not really seeing all the layers that are occurring. And so when we look at the content of the self-study, we have three different units. And I think that they're really a nice progression for people to understand more about the immigrant community. And the first unit is really reflecting on culture and care in immigrant communities. And one of the questions that you're asking in there is, what are your cultural realities? So explain a little bit more about that. What do you mean by cultural realities?
So yeah, culture is really important. And as much as this word has become some sort of a buzzword a lot of times. People mention culture and culture and culture, and it can mean so many different things for so many different people coming from so many different backgrounds. But when we look at culture, we see that everyone comes from a place of culture. Culture defines us. Culture is a way of how we look at the world. And if you look further in the study, I mentioned from a book written by Sarita Hammond, where she said that we all are cultural beings. So, and that's how we look at the world. That's how we frame the world. You're growing up, your background. And so it doesn't matter if you're coming from the same culture as somebody else or the same upbringing, you have a perspective that you bring to the world. And that's one of the things. Sometimes it can be a little bit of a friction when our cultures are different, especially our early childhood experiences and our professional experiences. When they come together, there can be some bit of a friction here. And then you have to work with families who are coming to the door from an extremely different culture as well. So it plays a lot of importance on how we view and understand culture, and also how we're aware of our own cultures so that we're able to better position ourselves to work with the families that come to the door every day in our programs.
Yes. And that's really our goal, because we know from so much work in infant and early childhood mental health that really all growth and change and support comes in the context of relationships and all learning. And so if you don't have a good relationship with the provider that's providing care for your child, or the child and the provider aren't connecting due to those disconnects, that can really cause some challenges long term. And I appreciate the definition and digging deeper in there. So when you think about moving to, okay, yes, these families are coming in the door, we're now, I, as an early childhood professional, I'm aware that cultural differences can really impact the way I connect and grow that partnership. What are some things that I can do to make sure that I'm cultivating some really positive partnerships with the families I serve, especially those from immigrant communities?
I think it's important to understand that families who are coming through the door have experience. Mm-hmm. They come from a place where they themselves have this very rich intergenerational culture of care, and they bring that with them. A lot of times, even me as a parent, I would refer to my aunties and some of my older cousins on, oh, how do you do this with the baby? Yeah. So they come with such a wealth of wisdom and community that they bring to them. And the more we're able to honor that, and honoring that means that we're in that place of humility to know that, how do you do this? How is it working for you? What is working? What is not working? How can I understand that place of strength that you bring? And honoring that, listening, observing for verbal cues, nonverbal cues, like all of the different gestures that those families are bringing. It's so important. And just starting from there gives us that affirmation that, hey, we're doing something to show that these families are valued and respected and honored from where they come from.
Yes. And I think that that's such a good reminder, because I think so often it's easy, well, not so often, I shouldn't say, but often it's easy to slip into this thinking of, well, these folks are from outside the United States, so they don't have the same understanding of early childhood development as we do. And of course they do. And of course, you're saying that intergenerational community that is built, it's one of beautiful support. I mean, you're sharing, you know, you're going to your aunties and your cousins, because so often in our communities in the United States, we value independence and, you know, this idea of figuring it out on your own and you can do it. Whereas in other communities that are now part of the larger whole, we're seeing this beauty and honoring the fact that they're supporting each other through a very, what can be challenging time, parenting a young child for the first time and being on your own.
I agree. That is so true. And I personally have that experience. Like I said earlier, I have a son who was born in Africa. And when my son was born, we have the culture where the new mom doesn't do anything. right? I was supposed to be wrapped up in cloth, wrapped up for about 30 to 40 days without doing anything. And I had community, aunties, uncles, my mother-in-law, my mother, they were taking care of the baby for the longest of time. I would do nothing except to breastfeed the baby. And when I came to the U.S., I had my daughter and I had no, like, that support wasn't there. I had just to be able to learn how to, like, feed the baby, do everything, because I didn't do it with my son. And that can be a cultural shock for a lot of families coming here. Even for my son, when he was going to preschool, I had to teach him how to put his coat on, how to put his shoes on, how to be independent in the classroom. Whereas at home, like, 9-year-olds are even bathed by their parents. And so it was a big shift for us, because we tend to do things for our children within our cultural community of care as compared to here. And so when families come to the door and they're bringing their children and wiping their nose and putting on their coats and doing everything for them, it's because they're coming from this interdependent culture. And the children learn so many great social skills because they are so surrounded by community. Mm-hmm. However, there are those things that are different in other cultures that are so conflicting, or sometimes can be frictional to what is happening here in independent cultures in the Western world. And so it's important to acknowledge that.
Oh, that's, I do think, I mean, if our listeners take away one thing, just understanding that perspective, and for you to have it totally contrasting for one child to your other child, all in your same family, it's like a research study.
It is. It is. And that's why, like, when I do some of the presentations that I do, I talk about raising the experience and my own story of raising and having children in two different cultures and seeing that. And even though for my daughter, like, I'm trying to build community around here, here for her, it's been a really different dynamics altogether for her. Because home is different, here is different. And so just creating that balance sometimes can be harder for some families. As families come and come over the border and come into the U.S., there is just something different about navigating the systems here and understanding what is expected of them. Like, one other example is back home, families are responsible for the care that we give to the children. But when it comes to, like, education and formal education, it's left to the educator. And so when our family walks through the door and they're looking up to you, and here in America, many the education system is that the families are the first teachers, right? The parents are the first teachers. And when you think about that, we don't have that concept back home. Even though it's implied, it's mm-hmm. not considered from that perspective. And so that's why it's a partnership. We have to work together for that child to be able to have a balance, a whole connected childhood for them to succeed and thrive.
And the family is navigating those two worlds and trying to provide both of those experiences for their child. I'm guessing. And you can speak to that clearly better than I can, but it just, I would think that would add one more layer of, responsibility that they're feeling to be that go-between and that bridge, and also fit in and also maintain and all of that together. And so when you think about so you talked about honoring their expertise and their experience, helping them with understanding that they're trying to find that balance. And are there other things that, besides, of course, being curious in the partnership, because that was something mm-hmm. else you touched on as well, other things that you can say, wow, when you experienced this as a parent, especially with your, son, when you came to the U.S., mm-hmm. what were some things that educators and providers of care did to really make you feel a part of the community that you were in, whether it be a childcare setting, a school setting, What were some of the highlights that you that stand out to you, where people were, you thought in yourself, boy, they really get it?
I think for me, it's a little bit different because of my background coming from early childhood and the trainings that I've had before coming to the U.S. And so being that advocate for me and for my children came along with me working also in an early childhood program. But then there was that perspective of seeing it as a bridge builder where you come in now and you take on the responsibility to educate other families and other educators. And then that's where it became a responsibility for me, because then I started initially, I would say that at first I was a little bit frustrated first at the system for not doing enough. And then I started getting frustrated at our families for not putting in time. But then it took a lot of reflection to come and see, it's like, nobody's doing it wrong here. We're just having some cultural awareness gaps and some information gap. So how do we continue? And that's the purpose of Beyond Early Initiatives, because like, that's where I saw beyond just the education perspective and beyond just the parenting perspective, more of like a connecting relationships is so important. Yes. And the more and more educators are able to relate to our families from that perspective, where they're coming from. And I will always say that, like in the course, we talk about levels of culture, where where we talk about the very shallow culture or the very surface culture. And most of the times from program perspective, the surface culture is we try to do the greetings, we try to do the food, the holiday, the costumes and all of that. But every family is so unique, even if they're immigrants. So like having to move beyond that surface culture into the shallow and the deep, understanding where the family, and it takes a lot of humility to ask. And I would say to educators, most of the time is about asking yourself where your assumptions are and then asking the families how you can learn, because they have the best way you can relate to them. Those authentic relationships come by connecting and moving beyond the surface culture of learning their greetings, learning their costumes that they wear, into understanding, oh, maybe they're a first or second generation immigrant family. So there are some assimilation here. Things have happened. They have adopted some things. They have dropped down some things. So some of them may not even be speaking the language from home. They may be, there may be a lot of differences going on and individual differences. So it's like relating to the family individually and building that relationship, the connection. It's so vital for child and for families. And that's how you build that partnership, by building those connections and moving beyond our own assumption that, oh, because they're immigrant family, they're at a deficit. They come with strengths. Understanding their strengths and then recognizing how you can use their strengths to support them in areas where they need to grow would definitely go a long way to benefit the child and the family, because they will find community with you as an educator.
Yeah. Oh, that's so beautiful. And I can tell, I'm going to say, as I sit here and listen to you, James, said, I think, yep, I think we chose the right person to write this course. Because you've lived it firsthand and you're so passionate about it because it's so important to you. And I appreciate the energy that you bring to this conversation. And as we kind of look at wrapping up our conversation, going to the final unit of the self-study talks about advocacy and advocating to help support immigrant families. And what does that look like? Because I think many people in our world think of advocacy as maybe it's you have to go to the Capitol and you have to, you know, stand up and be heard. Or there are different ways to advocate for families. And when you think of an early childhood setting, what can our educators be doing to advocate?
I always will encourage to challenge your assumptions. What you know, what you've always known, may not be equitable for your child. So you become an advocate right in your classroom by examining your own practices in your own programs on how it create not just equitable programming for your child, but justice-minded. How do you bring in that social justice in the classroom that will make families welcome? make your child feel like they belong in that classroom is the everyday actions that educators can make right within their very own circle of influence. So that sphere that you have influence over, you can be an advocate for the child who's coming from a different culture, a different background, a different country, and just make some everyday simple changes to include to help that child or that family feel like they belong there. And from there, you can go on to like advocating across your program, across your district or across your state. But it starts right there in your classroom and just helping families connect, stay connected and connect with them.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing about that. And when I think about just the excitement I have of folks going and taking this course from our website and really digging in deeper, we just barely touched on, you know, a few things today in our short conversation. But I just want to thank you, Jamesetta Diggs, for joining me today, for writing the Building Strong Partnerships, a culturally responsive approach to engaging immigrant children and families, for the work you do in Beyond Early initiatives, and just for, you know, knowing that you are a strong partner in our work as well. So thank you, Jamesetta, and hope you can join us again.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm grateful.
Listeners, if you want more information, you know where to find it at inclusivechildcare.org. And you can just go to our resource library or our self-study tab and find what you need to learn more about this topic. And thank you for listening. And I look forward to next time. For more information and a wide range of resources, visit inclusivechildcare.org. You'll find information on our coaching services and support on topics such as healthy child development, strategies for encouraging positive behavior, and guidance on including children with unique social, emotional, and learning needs, and much more.